Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy wait, when is Pride? Is it this weekend?
It's now, Sable. It's all month long. God. You're co-host of this gay-ass podcast. You don't know when Pride is.
I always think of Meg Salter. She's like, hi, gay.
Hi, gay. Yeah.
I saw a little dog with a rainbow pride scarf on. In my head, I was just like, hi, gay.
That's so funny.
The dog.
We hope your summers are treating you
well.
Well.
Sure.
We hope you're having the summer you deserve.
That's my favorite thing to say to people. Have the day you deserve.
Right.
We are all having the time we deserve now.
We are. God.
It's actually, I'm getting a good feeling about the summer. I don't know why, I just am. I'm feeling very optimistic.
Oh,
I'm feeling
great.
A lot of ominous positivity.
Ominous positivity.
Everything will work out. You cannot stop it.
Oh, yeah.
It cannot be stopped.
Oh, I love this energy from you. Yeah, I'm feeling good too.
Yeah.
I mean, my life is a little insane right now.
You're all moved in.
I'm all moved in.
I think you're very close to this bakery I want to go to because they have this rhubarb tart. I'm obsessed with anything rhubarb. And you only... It's called Radio Bakery, I think.
Oh, it just opened, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It has like a line of people outside at all times. I'm like, God, miss me with that.
No.
We can go on a weekday, though.
They're only open Thursday to Monday. Who does this?
Yeah, honestly.
In this economy.
Yeah.
I hate waiting in lines. Well, I guess I'll never have that tart because I refuse to wait in line.
I'll bring you one. I'll bring you one when we record on Saturdays.
Yay.
It'll be fine.
If they're not sold out, we'll see.
They're not sold out.
I'm not an early birdie. Well, New York City no longer smells like toxic smoke.
Yeah, we made it out of the smog, which is great.
But it does smell now like barbecue smoke, which I love. Like when people have their little sidewalk cookouts.
Oh, yes.
Smell the coal. I love that smell. I know. It's like the smell of summer when I can smell the sidewalk cookouts. And I was like, what's the etiquette for that? You're like on the sidewalk. Can I have a hot dog? Like, what's...
Right. It's like, I know you've got extra.
Yeah.
Where was I? Suffice it to say, I was outdoors. Okay. And that smell of honeysuckle that I famously...
It's everywhere.
Know what it is, it's everywhere.
Everywhere. Right, I notice so it lovely. All the time. It's so nice.
It's like, summer's back, bitch.
Yeah.
No,
it reminds me of that one environmental sexism factoid that people said city planners would mostly plant male trees because female trees would drop fruit and it would be too messy.
Oh,
and that's why we have allergies. It's because it's like all male trees just like splooging in the air with pollen.
Sure, sure.
So whenever I smell like honeysuckle now, I'm like, finally, an ally.
Finally, a woman.
Yes. The street of women. I only want to live on streets with women trees.
Literally. I'm trying not to talk about the move, but like I feel like it's just all that's been occupying my brain space. But
I can't wait to see your new place.
Oh. So I am all moved in.
Yeah.
And everything's up on the walls as of like just now. I am waiting for a kitchen table, but it's not a necessity.
Yeah.
It's just a nice to have because I have this beautiful breakfast bar situation, but nice. It's also so much counter space that I'm going to use that as counter space to cook. And then I found an extremely cute dining table.
Where do you shop for furniture? Like, I don't know where to go for furniture, man.
So this is custom. It's by a Korean designer who lives upstate. And it is just a big pink flower.
Wow.
I'll send you a photo of this style. It's actually insanely affordable. So, I didn't feel bad about, like, I knew I needed a dining table. And I was like, okay, this is $100 or $200 and I would spend it already. Like,
yeah.
And this is insane and cartoony. Like, I must have it. But so that's not here. But the rest of it is. And yeah, I was sort of like looking around today and I was like, damn, my place is awesome. So, you know.
Nice.
I don't know. I feel like you move in and then you move in 6 more times in 6 months.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's nice.
You don't really feel settled until like a year.
No, totally. Listen, I don't play with my home.
Dude, neither do I. All of my money goes into my home.
Literally.
That's it. Although I have like recently been like, should I get insurance? Like,
for your home?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I should probably have that.
Yeah. I always feel like it's a scam, but then I do know people who've had a leak or something and then used it. And I'm like, hang all this money for a disaster that may never happen.
Well, didn't your bathroom like implode on itself last year?
Yeah. But the building fixed that because it was a building issue.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So
I feel like
you deal with that.
Leave a note in the comments if Sable should get insurance.
It's like, how much could it be, Michael? $10. It's home insurance.
We are banned from talking about bananas on this podcast for
reasons. Yeah, apparently.
We're
not going to talk about it. We can't talk about it.
Fun. Well, I remember.
It's remember fun while it lasted.
Remember how I bitched at you for trying to break the embargo, and then we didn't, and then we got accused of breaking the embargo. Anyway, cutting that out.
We are not embargo breakers.
We are not. We're a lot of things. You could say a lot of things about us that are true. Pick one.
Many things can be said about us, but not that.
You're going to the thing on Wednesday, right?
What?
The fucking Fermanish?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I'm going to go to that too, but I'm going to go to that dinner. But
okay,
like,
the
thing starts at 6 and the dinner's at 7:30. I won't be there that long anyway. It's fine. Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to go to that dinner. It's just, I don't know why I get chaotic energy from that invite.
I definitely don't want to, but I've never heard of the brand. And Vanessa Hudgens and Winnie Harlow. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to miss this. Just the spectacle.
Okay, we were both invited. Okay, well, Tynan was invited. And then a week later, I was invited, which means that many people didn't RSVP. Yes, we were both invited to some mystery fragrance dinner that apparently Vanessa Hudgens and Winnie Harlow are hosting.
Like, Winnie is hosting the cocktail and Vanessa is like...
And again, I will do anything for free food, but I already said yes to a different event.
I was surprised that you aren't going to the dinner because of the free food alone.
I know. I just like the idea of trying to hit two events in one night is so exhausting to me.
I was in the text with Sable like, come with me. You're already going to be out. We're going to be the same event before.
I guess I could still RSVP, yes, because I think they emailed me again like today. And I'm like, okay, y'all are desperate.
It would be a real hoot.
Please invite us to your fragrance dinners. At least one of us will RSVP, yes.
You know I'll go to anything. I am not choosing. True.
I have been going to a lot of like random events. And then as soon as I get there, I'm like, why am I here? I don't need to. I'm not going to cover this. I can't do any.
Yeah.
Why am I here?
I think that's just going to events.
You're totally right. You know absolutely what I mean? Right. I think about this a lot now because I'm like, what am I? What is my career anymore? What am I doing?
Like, it's like hooking up with someone on Grindr, because it's like, the fun and the excitement is in the chase and the setting it up and the RSVPing and the putting it on your calendar. And then when you're on your way or when you walk in, you're like, what am I doing?
Yes.
I don't want to do this. Why
am I
here?
Completely. You know, I realized that like in those situations and similar situations where I'm like, what am I doing again? Like, why am I here? There's like, you know, like everyone has kind of like an inner monologue.
Yeah.
And my inner monologue has different voices depending on how I'm feeling. And when I'm in that uncertain, apprehensive social anxiety state, the voice is always Christian Bale in The Dark Knight.
This is so funny. Please go on.
Christian Bale Batman, when it's just like, what am I doing? How did I get here? What made you think this was a good idea? And like, that's the voice in my head when I'm like being critical of myself.
I love that. I only have one internal monologue voice and it's always screaming.
There is always that too.
Yeah.
Or it's just, you know, the little like bips and bops of the way I normally speak anyway. But whenever it's a Christian Bale Batman, I'm just like, okay, it's time to do a self-check-in. Like, what's up?
Right. You know something is wrong. Yeah.
What is Batman coming for?
I love that.
Also, on the summer tip, as we were speaking before, I feel like lately all I've been going for are like light white floral marshmallowy princess scents.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, who am I?
You're
like,
me.
I think I'm turning into you.
Yeah.
Something about the annual sluttening of the season is like, time to be a marshmallow.
Yeah. My friend, our friend Wally from wherever the fuck he works, refers to this weather as, I believe it is, tits out, ass out weather, which I really like. Anything with a marshmallow vibe, you know, it's an immediate yes for me, dog. When I was unpacking my
500 fragrances.
My 500 fragrances after I famously moved. I mean, I know it's been a big thing, not so much this year, but maybe 2 years ago, it was sort of like the fragrance of the moment. But Love Don't Be Shy makes consistent points. I'm sorry. Like it is. And like I said, sometimes when I just want something sweet and I want to wear something to be happy in, it's just, it never, I think I like it more than I realize I do. And I know that I like it a lot. So what does that mean?
I really like Rolling in Love. Because I feel like it's a slightly more transparent or translucent version of Love Don't Be Shy. Like a little bit.
I see that.
Or like, I still find myself gravitating towards Princess.
Yeah.
Whose full name shall not be invoked. But apparently there's an Ofrage version that I don't know if it's in the US. I feel like it's just maybe as of now, just a European launch. But
I think it's here as well.
I saw it on Trendmood of all places. And they're like, available in the EU. And I'm like, okay, what about America? We also wish to be Ofrage.
I'm obsessed with Trendmood. I love Trendmood. You want to talk about breaking embargoes? Let's talk about Trendmood.
Truly. That's our
She'll
dilemma.
Just post anything whenever.
Yeah. She also like has no gods, no masters. So like,
absolutely.
Who's going to, you know?
It's funny because brands need Trendmood.
Yeah. But
you never know. Also, as a beauty copywriter, especially in my old gig, which was my dream job and hell on earth at the same time, I would work on this copy for months and months and months because it was an insane culture. But by the time I'd see it on Trendmood, you would think it was would just be a copy and paste of the brand copy, because it looks and sort of sounds like brand copy when she posts it. It's not. There are typos all over it and reworded, which fine, but I look at that and be like, fuck, is that me? Did I fuck this shit up? Oh my God. Whenever Becca would go up on Trendmood, I'd just have a full-blown panic attack. Like my third of the day by that point. Yeah. Shout out to Sophie.
R.I.P. Becca.
R.I.P. Becca. Yeah.
I feel like I've seen their products come up somewhere on social recently. Like she nostalgia.
Actually, it's trending.
Yeah. Yeah,
she
yeah.
She did one and it really blew up. And then she did another with like Becca Blushes. I don't know. I mean,
it was like things I miss. And I was like, girl, there's literally hundreds of thousands of brands out there. Like,
right. It's a highlighter. Also, it still exists. Yeah. Like you can get it on Smashbox.
That's so crazy to me how they do that.
Yeah. Well, Estee Lauder is run by the devil. So
isn't it like a really corny name? It's like Smashbox Hearts Becca.
Yeah. It's deeply bad.
Deeply cringe. Oh my God. I was bamboozled into attending, speaking of 300, a 300 person wedding this weekend.
I saw that. Who was your date? Was that your brother?
That was my brother. I was like, my mom texts us and she's like, we're having a family dinner for Father's Day. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Sure. And she's like, also, it's your cousin Andrew's like wedding dinner. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Thinking it's just going to be at like what we normally do at a Chinese restaurant, you know, big round table. There's like maybe 8 or 10 of us there. Very chill. Mm-hmm. It was a 300 person banquet hall. And they had a wedding singer. They had MCs.
Stop.
It sounded like a nonstop auctioneer in half Cantonese, like half English.
Oh my God.
I was like, how do you know 300 people? Like, what? Who are these people?
Literally.
Like, literally, who are these people? I don't know anyone here but our immediate family. And I'm like, I'm not close to this cousin at all. Like, we have never, despite living in the same state and city, we just don't speak. We could go to, we see each other every holiday, but we just like don't have conversations. And he's like a few years younger than me, but they do this thing that I have been informed is apparently tradition in Chinese weddings. And I guess I just haven't been to enough Chinese weddings, but when you go there, you're expected to give a gift of money and like the hongbao, the red envelopes. Okay. There's like a table that accepts you. It's like going to prom where you pick up your name and they're like, give us the envelope. And then in the middle of dinner, the MCs announce, they open every envelope and announce who gave it and how much money.
No.
Yes. It's a flex. It encourages people to give a lot of money to flex.
Oh, wow.
And I think somebody, I didn't like hear who it was. I think it might have been like someone in the bride's family, gave them a check for 300 grand.
What?
300 grand. And I was like, what?
We talk about not having funding to make our own fragrance. Call them.
And then even that they're like calling out the numbers. They're like, oh, 15 grand, 50 grand. I was like, these bitches got married and came out half millionaires. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
Because at first I was like, isn't this really gauche to be calling out all the stuff? And then my mom's like, it's tradition. And I was like, since when? What? Although, to be fair, I can't remember the last time I went to a Chinese wedding, but holy shit. And then my brother was like, let's rob them.
So you are related.
Yes. He was like, damn, he's getting jumped.
That's so funny. Yeah. I always say, like, if I were to ever get married, it'd be like a teeny tiny wedding and a larger like chill reception. But God damn, if I get a quarter million out of it.
That's why I was like, oh, that's why people get married, for the money.
Fuck, I changed my tune.
Okay. Because I was like, you guys already had a full wedding a couple of weeks ago. Like, why are we doing a second wedding? And I'm like, oh, it's because you're rich.
Damn.
Apparently, when you're rich, you can have as many weddings as you want. So I was like, cool. Right. cool. And again, I'm like, no one told me this was a wedding I was attending, so I look like shit. Thanks a lot. Didn't dress up. Oh, well. And it was like in a banquet hall in a mall in Flushing, which was so funny.
That's amazing.
So you just take the escalator up to the third floor and like you're suddenly in a banquet hall. Me, my brother and I were really bored. So we're like, let's go to the food court and get bubble tea. And we did.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Did I already say this on this podcast on which I never stopped talking? But you know, Bad Roman.
Uh-huh.
If you don't live in New York City, Bad Roman is
it's just like a hypey like restaurant.
The hottest news restaurants in the city. Meh, meh, meh. And I went to a dinner for Black Radiance there. It was really mm-hmm. lovely. It was an honor to be invited. But I popped the address into my GPS and I was walking to Midtown and I was like, this is in a mall? Like, everyone, you have all been posting from a mall? What? And like, no shade, of course.
Wait, but which mall?
Columbus Circle.
Oh, but that's a fancy mall. Okay, it's I know what you mean.
It has a J. Crew and a Sephora. Hudson Yards is a fancy mall.
Yeah, that's true. It has that big bronze sculpture of like the dick and everyone touches the dick.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird.
Shout out to dicks everywhere.
Right? And it's like all like shiny because that's the part people touch. And I'm like, guys, stop it.
Yeah, stop. We like just got out of a pandemic.
There's no consent. Statue. Just respecting it. Anyway. Anyway, so maybe I will get married after all. And when I do, everyone will know it's a scam. So
exactly.
Who wants to be in a scam wedding with me? Applications start now.
I love it.
Heinen, what are you smelling today?
So I've been wearing this all of the long weekend. And I was like, no, I'm not going to talk about it on the show because I feel like we've given this brand a lot of lip service in the last year, both good and critical, very fervently good. Mm-hmm. But I really like it. So I was like, why would I talk about anything else just to be contrarian? I am wearing Sunfruit by Ellis Brooklyn.
Interesting. Yeah. That's not what I thought you were going to say.
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, well, you know, we're close with Ellis Brooklyn Gigantic. Are we? Question mark? I don't know.
I don't think we are. Shit,
which is good. We're on the mailer, which is
cool. We're on the mailing list. We're on the which is fine. Totally
good enough for me.
Yes.
But Sable actually gave me a splash bottle, the controversial splash bottles of this. And listen, I thought it was going to be a searing citrus for summer, florals for spring, and groundbreaking. But so it took me a while to get around to it, but I put it on, I think, Saturday. And you know what? I have to say, I really, really love this. I think it is fucking beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not a citrus guy.
Well, it's not a citrus. So, and maybe that's why I think, maybe that's why I am so gagged by it. For context, it's called Sunfruit. The bottle is chartreuse. Mm-hmm. You know, from that, I was taking lemon grapefruit, whatever. But it's this really, and forgive me, I am going to read the notes, or like at least the hero notes, but it's this really sweet, round, warm fruit. Like, okay, so some of the notes are fig, bergamot, pear, and then we have a bunch of florals in the middle, and then at the base is amber, vanilla, and coconut. And between that, it really does give you fig, pear, and coconut because, you know, figs, and it's that like sweet, purpley, nectary sort of vibe. And then the pear is also not an apple, but it's not any other type of fruit. Mm-hmm. And then it rides on this base of coconut, which I am interpreting as coconut milk. I could be wrong, but is just sort of this really beautiful, summery, sweet fragrance that to me is very unique. It's not reinventing the wheel when it comes to summery scents or sweet scents, but I kind of can't stop wearing it. And to me, it's like a tropical bubblegum is the best way I can wrap it up in a bow. It is not cloyingly sweet, but it's very bouncy and sort of like pink and orange. I love it. I am very, very impressed. I'm glad that Ellis has sort of graduated from, you know, just doing different versions of soft skin scents, which shout out to that. But yeah, I really like this. And I would almost venture to say, I mean, we talk a lot about their price point, which is frankly none of our business, I suppose, how they price their shit. But it's higher than I always think it is.
Same.
But you know what? If I was looking for a summer fragrance that I was going to wear day to day, or even, you know, we always say fuck being seasonal, then I always say seasons, a sweet fragrance like this I was going to wear day to day, I would definitely fork over the money because I just really, really enjoy it. Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah. I was sent a bottle of the Sunfruit body oil.
Mm.
So I guess I'll actually open the box because I haven't opened it yet.
You've worn this though, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I think I automatically was just like, another citrus, not for me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not that. And listen, I wore Debaser by Jason Durga, which is very fig forward and very summery, yes, a couple days ago. And I mean, she is just unimpeachable. And yep, they are nothing alike, yep, but they do see each other from across the hallway and like nod. You know, just the figgy, summery, sweet, just definitely really, really good. I'm very impressed. I just like, I love wearing this. I love being alive.
Yeah. I do like a lot of Ellis Brooklyn scents.
Yeah.
I really like the bee scent, and I like
Super I love amber. Bee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've smelled super amber, obviously vanilla milk.
Super amber, I feel like it's in the realm of Missing Person and Glossier You.
Oh, very
it's,
that.
It's very that girl scent. And when I say that girl, it's all in lowercase.
She means white girl.
Yeah. Very YT girl.
did you get the new shades of cloud paint?
No, they don't send me things anymore for probably reasons, but that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. You know what? I'm okay with that.
That's fair. I've been begging them to make a lavender cloud paint literally since they released cloud paint. So I was like, I'm going to need that. So I'm excited.
Nice.
Anyway, Sable, what do you smudge today?
So being on my puffy marshmallow kick, I have been wearing this a lot recently. Narciso Rodriguez Eau Neroli Ombre. It's the orange cube.
Oh, yeah.
I am now determined to collect all of the cubes.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Watch out, eBay.
My new shape obsession now.
Not this.
First, it was orbs. Now it is cubes. If it comes in a cube, I want it. It's kind of like, if you know Narciso fragrances, it's so much in the canon of their scents, where it's very orange, flowery, white floral, musky, a little bit powdery, a little bit ambery, and almost like a skin scent, but if you took it in a powdery floral way, but it's very, very subtle.
Mm.
It's just such a beautiful, gorgeous scent that's very light. It feels like wearing a sherbet-colored chiffon dress over sun-warmed skin on a beach vacation. That's what it feels like.
The bottle is sherbet-colored as well. It's like this really beautiful pastel crawl. That bottle is gorgeous.
I love these bottles. I love how, like, the color is on the inside and the rest of it is translucent.
Yeah. So thanks to our listeners on this non-visual medium, the bottle is, like Sable said, it's a pastel coral, but it's painted from the inside.
Yeah.
So it looks like the juice, I mean, it doesn't look like juice, but it looks like it's full of sherbet. And then the outside, it has a matte gradient.
Yeah. It's so like it's frosted glass. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that's a simple but stunning bottle.
I love the bottles.
Yeah.
All of the four her scents, they're kind of in the rectangular bottles that they look like this. They're just rectangles. Those are also somewhat, not the newest one. I haven't smelled that one, but there's one that's like for her musk noir. Is probably the most similar smelling one to this one.
Okay.
This just feels like the summer edition. But I think they really nailed the Neroli and Amber combo. Oh, and of course, again, Aurelien Guichard created this. Of course I love it.
Shout out.
Anything that man makes, I love it.
Does it give you... Have we had him on the show?
No.
Let's get him.
Let's get him.
So does that... Not bad. Does that take you to marshmallow, though?
A little bit, but it's kind of like a floral, it's like a summer marshmallow. This is a summer marshmallow scent.
I think I smelled that at your place when I hated it, but...
I don't think it's a you scent.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But I will fuck around and wear it.
Yeah. I love a white floral. Like, I don't love all florals, but I love a white floral. But, like, when it's subtle, I don't like when it's like... Da, 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 da. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I've been just, like, reaching for all these girly... I think just because all of the quote-unquote girly scents are always the ones I get the most compliments. I hate it.
Yeah.
I was like, of course you like this one because I smell like... I was wearing Paradox the other day and a person in my life...
Oh, here we go.
A person in my life with the male persuasion was like, you smell so good. And I was like, of course you like this. You would like the girly smell, wouldn't you? And then he was like, why are you getting so aggressive? I was like, never mind.
Last time a man told me he liked the fragrance I was wearing, I wore it for 6 months straight. So let's not go down that route.
That's a horrible thing too. When somebody compliments the scent, ostensibly somebody that like I could maybe have sex with, I'm just like, this is now this is my favorite scent. And I hate that about myself.
Well, I will say that it was commodity milk, and that was very much like what I already fucked with. But I was like, oh, we're doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone's like, hey, wow, you smell great. Your perfume smells great. And you're like, I have a boyfriend.
Yeah, literally, right.
I'm gonna say that next time. Whether it's true or not.
Yeah, to him.
Yeah, to him. I have he's like, yeah, it's me. And I'm like, oh.
Is he your boyfriend? Listen, the best kind of boyfriend to have is the one that doesn't listen to this podcast.
I agree. That's what I always say. If you listen to this podcast, you're doing the opposite of endearing yourself to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how much do you want to know? Yeah.
How much do you want to hurt your own feelings?
God, exactly.
Anyway. We actually have a guest this time.
We do. We actually have a slew of guests coming up that I'm really excited about. Starting
with, I've been so stoked on having this guest for the past few weeks because I've become obsessed with their whole collection. We have Carlos Huber from Arkiste Parfumerie. I was gifted a little discovery set from his publicist, so
which
whatever.
I want, by the way.
It's like everything is going as it is. That's supposed to go business as usual. But his publicist, who happens to also be a friend of mine, and I was like sort of familiar with Arkiste. I'd heard their name before, but I never got to smell their scents just because I don't know where they are, and also I'm lazy. But it was just a 6-scent kit. It wasn't the whole collection, but all of them were so interesting and just really lovely in a way that I hadn't really smelled before in many collections.
Mm-hmm.
So I was then lucky enough to be invited to Carlos's home in the West Village. He has this gorgeous apartment, and meet his little dog Chorizo, and he kind of walked me through the whole collection, and after that I was like totally obsessed. So I was like, please be on our podcast, and he said yes.
I'm deeply jealous of everything that you just said. I would love all of that, specifically to meet Chorizo, but...
Chorizo was so excited to meet me, he peed on my shoe.
Oh, very me.
And I was like, it's okay. You're too... I was like, it's okay because you're cute.
Yeah.
So you can pee in my shoe if you're cute.
What I was excited about... I mean, I'm very excited to have him on the show, but, you know, you are a little bit more literate with, well, everything, but... Arkiste than I am. And what I liked is that when I, and of course I'm familiar, but when I looked them up in preparation for this show, you know, their collection isn't enormous, which I kind of like. And like, this is so subjective that I hate myself for saying it, but sometimes like we are vetting people for the show or just whatever. And, you know, you look at a brand, and when their collection it's like 55 fragrances. It's like, so what are we doing here? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what is the point? After, you know, reading a lot about them and talking to him, as we will soon hear, it's like, oh no, like the perspective is pretty singular. And I think a lot of things about his history and his background and his personality really shine through in Arkiste without tying it back to him as the reason to believe, you know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. I just think like there's something really nice going on.
I love the bottles. I love the design. I love how each fragrance has its own hair orbs. Each fragrance has its own font, which I think is cool, but it's the same bottle. It's really cool. It's a pretty unique thing that you don't actually see very often.
Yeah, like, no, totally.
Most brands just have like same, maybe like a different color, but like same font, same bottle.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, these have different colors and different fonts.
It's like,
yeah. So I guess we can just like stop rambling about him and just let him speak.
Let's do it.
Yeah, cool.
My name is Carlos Huber. I'm the founder of Arkiste Parfumerie, a boutique brand focused on transporting people to historical places and inspiring times. And I'm a fragrance developer.
Awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Carlos, what do you smell like today?
Today, I smell like the Architects Club.
That's my favorite. I love that.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites. It's maybe one of the fragrances that I just sort of like, just without even thinking, unconsciously reach out for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, even though it's a woody fragrance with like a very subtle green vanilla, if that sounds appealing, I find it like really a nice kind of fragrance to wear even when the weather's a little bit warmer. but you want something that feels enveloping.
Yeah, I love that it's vanilla in a very soft, enveloping way.
Yeah, it. I think of it as like sort of like a cloud of vanilla, like almost a vanilla pipe. You know, like one of those like when guys would like smoke pipes that would be tobacco and vanilla, or even shisha. You know, like pipes that have vanilla. It's like that very clean, almost like refreshing.
You said the magic word, cloud.
Yeah.
We love anything that smells like a cloud.
Exactly. This is a very vanilla forward podcast. And so you're speaking our language for sure.
Yeah, listen, vanilla is just, even the when people say they don't like it, then you show them something that has vanilla. They're like, oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. I think it's just implicit. It's natural to us. Like we all have a connection with vanilla, whether it's like something very boozy or something very sweet and balsamic or kind of like smoky and woody. There's like a million takes on it. And all of them are intriguing, I think.
For sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I feel like vanilla is like patchouli in that way, because I am the first person to say like, man, I don't like patchouli. But then you show me anything with like a heavy patchouli note and I usually love it, you know? So.
That well, the thing about patchouli is that it's one of the most wonderful ingredients as well. I mean, of course, like a patchouli forward fragrance where that is sort of the main protagonist can be polarizing. But as an ingredient, when combined with other things, it just brings earthiness and a lot of complexity. It has like a dampness to it. It has a green facet, but of course it has like a woody kind of like, just it has like weight, right? It brings a lot of like base and complexity and background to a fragrance.
Totally.
And by itself, it's like perfume in itself. It's one of those ingredients that like really you have to honor it, you know, just by the multitude of notes that it encapsulates in itself naturally.
I would love
complex.
That.
Complex, yeah. We are here to talk about Arquiste. And one of the cool things I remember you saying was the name is like a portmanteau of, was it artist and what was the other one?
It's between architecture and
architect,
history, but it does also have like a connection with artists because of course it has a happy coincidence of sounding like artiste. So yeah, I wanted to think of a name that, you know, told you a little bit what the brand was about. Kind of like the connection with architecture, the connection with history, the fact that this is an artisan brand, that we do really spend a lot of time on the creative development, and that it sounded a little bit exotic.
It's a cool sounding name. Yeah.
Everyone says like Arquiste, Arquiste. There's definitely like a lot of questions of how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some branding experts might tell you like that's not the best idea, but I think it has like sort of like a panache, you know?
Yeah,
like Versace, or I got like,
yeah,
totally. If people get it right, it's kind of fun to play around with it.
Right.
So your professional background, or was it your educational background, is in architecture, but perfume's always been one of your great passions. So how did you kind of get from architecture to fragrance?
Yeah, I have a professional degree in architecture, and I also have a graduate degree, a master's in preservation. So really, I mean, what brought me to architecture was historic architecture. I always loved old cities, old buildings. I love to visit them. I love to research them. I love learning about them. And I always wanted to design with old buildings in mind. So that's why I went to school, and that's why I started working in architecture. But fragrance was also something that always interested me. The more I learned about like just different crafts, whether it's perfume or even winemaking or other design fields, I really was drawn to arts and technologies that are something between nature, artistry, technology, and practical arts. So the way architecture is like a perfect example of that. It is definitely an art form. It is always like need creativity to design something beautiful. You want to design something beautiful. You want to provoke emotion with it. But then it also has a functional, practical side to it. And it also uses materials from nature, right? Perfume is the same thing. Like it is a work of art in that it speaks of beauty. It speaks of life. It speaks of nature. It speaks of like making us feel certain emotions and certain feelings. But It is also something practical. It must wear well on skin. It taps into like health, well-being. It's also a commodity, right? It's like a luxury good that is sold and marketed. And all of that I think is very interesting, right? So I've always been kind of like drawn to feels like that. And with fragrance in particular, I love the experience of it. So I love that it can transform like just any place, any occasion, any moment by what you're smelling. Mm. And so I think I was always very sensitive to it. I was very aware that when you walk into a building and if there's flowers or if there's a certain fragrance in the air, your experience of the place might be different, such as a hotel, for example, or a store, or even somebody's house. But, you know, for me, especially being drawn to historic architecture, when you walk into like an old church and you smell like the wooden floors and you smell like the stone, when you smell, you know, the incense, or you go into an old house and again, it smells dusky and a little dusty. What is that creating you? How do you perceive the place and what is different about it? And the thing is, and this I learned in preservation a lot, that we respond to that emotionally. Like we respond to patina. We respond to the smell of old things. They become like something familiar, anchored. We trust them sometimes more. There's a connection to that, right? So smell and fragrance is something that I was always drawn to. I went to school in France for a little bit. And I think over there, I did like a year abroad in Paris when I was in architecture. I think over there, I got to explore a little bit more with niche perfume and with like what at the time were for me, like sort of like, you know, the brands to look for. Serge Lutin, for example, was one of them. That's still one of my favorites. And that was definitely one of the fragrances that at that point I discovered had something really incredible going on. And then I came to New York, and because I had spent time in Paris and I spoke French, I made a lot of French friends here in the city. And in one of these like social gatherings, I met one of the perfumers that I work with, Jan Vanier. And then it turns out that we also knew an evaluator, which, as you know, an evaluator in fragrance is kind of like a sommelier, a person that guides the development process with the client and the perfumer, or the middle point and the kind of like the referee kind of guiding the perfumer, like, oh, this is what the client wants. I think this is what they need. We speak both languages, sort of like marketing, sales, and at the same time, chemistry and just perfume creation. So we had a friend in common, Sophie Bensamou, who was like a wonderful evaluator. And then they introduced me to Rodrigo Flores, the perfumer that is really like the closest and really at the heart of Arquise, because not only has he done so many of our fragrances, but he's the one that mentored me and really taught me everything I know. Mm. So thanks to him, I studied perfume with him for over a year, and I would meet with him every week to discuss fragrance, perfume history, iconic fragrances of the past, of the present, fragrance families, olfactive styles, you know, perfumers and their own styles as well. This was just fascinating. And it was a moment where I was like, okay, I want to do something that involves history and preservation a bit more, but I wanted more independence. I want freedom. Mm. I want to do something on my own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, suddenly it occurred to me that I had an amazing chance here. I had very close relationships with two industry-leading perfumers. Mm-hmm. I had an idea that was rooted in my career, that rooted in like history and architecture and what I loved, but also that it seemed like right for the time. It seemed like part of the zeitgeist storytelling was starting to blossom more in brands. And I had here in New York access and connection to just a lot of retailers, media. It was like the perfect sort of place to be. And I thought, well, regardless of like my career in architecture, I should take this opportunity now. I have two perfumers that believe in my ideas, that want to develop perfumes with me, that are willing to open the doors of the fragrance house where they work at to create these perfumes with me. And I get to design it. I get to design a beautiful product. I had already worked for 2 years in store development for Ralph Lauren. So I had a little bit of exposure to merchandising and product design and storytelling in design and retail. I thought, well, let's do this. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, I will have like already made perfumes that were through inspirations of mine. So that's super amazing.
And it's yeah, a that's win-win. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Totally.
For that, you know, whatever happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I was going to ask you about the parallels between architecture and fragrance, but you answered that pretty beautifully just now. But I do wonder, are there any similarities in your approach to your work or your studies within design and architecture and your approach to your work in fragrance?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of parallels for sure. It's all about programming. Mm-hmm. What I learned in architecture was that, again, it's a practical art. Right. So an idea on paper, a draft, just sort of like a sketch on 2D is nothing. It doesn't come into fruition. And so like programming in construction, programming fragrance production is very important for all the ingredients and all the components to come together at the right moment is very important. When you place the order for the glass bottles, when you place the order for the pumps, when is the perfume going to be ready? There needs to be compatibility, which you know, right? You can't build a building where the glazing is not really well designed against the masonry. You know, all of the things need to go well together. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like parallel to that. Even just, I mean, this is very basic, but even just like the fact that you have, like a building, you have a foundation, you have a structure, and then you have an ornamental level or like layer. You have like base, hard, and top notes.
Yeah.
It's very much like the way a building behaves. You know, it's like the layers in a building.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very appealing to me as well. You know, like that was very sort of like easier to understand in my head as an architect. And then again, it also has this interesting thing of being a practical art. It's really, both fields rely a lot on science. Mm-hmm. You know, architecture needs to have good engineering. Physics are important, you know? Right. Material, just the nature of materials, chemistry, all this is important. You know, even how you preserve buildings and how you take care of them, clean them, you need to understand like what's going on chemically with them as they age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, of course, perfume, an actual perfumer has a chemistry background. You know, they know their way in a lab. They are scientists. They're just scientists that are like focused on creating aromas and scents and experiences and working with emotions in that sense. So there's a little bit of both are like very similar in that sense as well. And then they both are creations of their time. They represent and they reflect the fashions of the era, right? So a building will tell you everything about when it was built and what people were thinking of, what was available at the time, what was, you know, like a building you'll see technology had evolved in a certain way. There's more use of like these materials because they were like, you had like trade agreements with between these countries and these regions in the world. A perfume is the same way. I mean, a perfume in the 20th century is incredibly different than what a perfume in Egyptian times would be because they just simply didn't have all of the ingredients that we have access to right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not only between synthetic and naturals, but also think about like this discovery of America. If we didn't have the discovery of America and, you know, you didn't have like the fragrance of the scents that come from, you know, places like Mexico, like vanilla, tuberose, magnolia, frangipani, you wouldn't have modern French perfumery.
Mm.
Wow. You know, like those perfumes wouldn't exist if it wasn't for just like the world advancing and coming together. And it's really cool. A perfume is an historic creation. It will represent its time. A perfume from the 90s or from the 80s represents what we were going through as a society in the 80s and the 90s, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never thought about that in that way. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. You know, I'm a nerd and there's a lot of like just really go into this and explore all of those things a lot more.
I mean, you found the right podcast to do that on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's talk whenever you want to talk about like history and all that. I find it fascinating.
I love that.
Yeah. I remember you were telling me how so many of your scents have these really specific nuanced historical references. It's like almost like its own vignette in time.
Yeah.
And they're so specific. Like the one that's about King Louis with was the orange trees in Versailles. So where do you pick and choose which of these anecdotes to create a scent around?
So again, being a smaller niche brand, it's really whenever I am inspired or wherever I've traveled recently and discovered something, whatever I'm discussing with the perfumers and they're inspired by, like anything that interests them, anything that like they tell me, like, listen, like, I think this would be an incredible idea. I obviously listen to them a lot. I do listen to my customers. I do listen to like the Arkiste customers that tell me, I love this. This resonates with me. And then I try to sort of like say, okay, so this is what people kind of connect with the brand. So let's keep exploring that, right? So I'm definitely very much aware of what my customer wants. But at the same time, I'm not really following sort of like a branding formula of you need an orange blossom, you need a smoky wood, you need a dry wood, and you need like a watery
rose.
Exactly. A rose, a vanilla, a vetiver, and I don't know, a violet. I don't really work that way so much. I do, of course, every once in a while, take a good look at the collection and kind of think, okay, we're missing something from here. We're missing something from this part of the world or from this historic period, or we're missing this ingredient. So that's kind of like a little bit like what guides me. I love to travel. And that's another huge part of like why I loved perfume and why I love what I've done in perfume, because it allows me to travel a lot. And so like when I go somewhere and discover something, an interesting story, and that's, for example, how I discovered the story behind the Orangery in Versailles. And even though it's a little bit, you know, banal now to talk about Versailles because everyone else has like made reference Versailles in so many ways, but it is incredible because it was historically the largest orangery in the world. And it has like a very interesting, complex thing, which is it is in Northern Europe, you know, like Paris not being necessarily on the Mediterranean. So to keep these orange trees warm and blooming and, you know, thriving, they needed to warm up the space with bonfires. And I thought that was a really beautiful idea for a perfume. The idea of like orange blossom wafting through this like cathedral-like space and the smokiness from like these fires, the wood burning, and the how they would complement each other, like the orange blossom and the woody notes and like the smoke. I thought that would be very interesting. So that's something that like I kind of learned on a trip that I made there. And we had access to the orangery. They told us this little detail, and I thought that was fascinating.
That's so cool. Wow, and I love that because crazy. like you said, Versailles is such a, it's a very well-known reference just because it's like a well-known, you know, visiting spot when people go to France. But like, I don't think they tell you about the orangeries there when you go.
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's like perfect for a perfume story, right?
But yeah.
That's why sometimes I'm like, listen, it doesn't matter that it's Versailles and that it's a little bit like, you know, everyone that has talked about Versailles already, like they haven't talked about this.
Exactly.
So let's talk about this. And it will have a larger audience because like people will know what I'm talking about when I say Versailles. They already have like an idea of what this looks like and feels like.
I love the story behind Misfit as well, and how patchouli used to be a very luxurious high ticket item that then got passed to the Bohemians. And that's where it got its reputation.
So that I learned because, and that was interesting. So that Rodrigo had made me just as sort of like on a birthday, he had made me a patchouli fragrance for me that was basically like the inspiration behind Misfit originally. And I thought like this fragrance, we need to do something about it. We need to sort of like keep developing for that. And so I started researching about patchouli. And the thing that I found that it was so interesting is that the way it arrived to Europe was because it was used to wrap fabrics and shawls that came from India that would be transported in either caravans or in ships to Europe and then sold there as luxury goods. And they were very expensive. They were handmade, the best quality, came all the way from India. And they would be rashed in patchouli because patchouli actually would help like prevent like insects and blanking on the word. Insects. It was like an insect repellent.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't the fabric, right? Moths.
Moths,
it would prevent moths from like basically eating the shawls while they were in like the hull of a ship, you know, traveling around the world. So when these shawls would be unboxed in France and in London and in Russia or Germany, wherever they were, they would smell of patchouli. And because of that, patchouli was first considered or associated with luxury and with wealth, because only the wealthy would have access to these shawls.
Right.
Wow. But that's then, fascinating.
Like everything, when something becomes, you know, like the height of fashion, and then it becomes too general and everyone has access to it, you start having dupes, right?
Yep.
You start having like copycats that start like, and this is the times of the Industrial Revolution. So suddenly in England, you started seeing replicas of these shawls, and these shawls were no longer as desirable because now everyone wear them. So a lot of these shawls started being handed off and given away as like, you know, secondhand gifts or sold in secondhand stores. And they would be sold a lot to sort of women and just people that were more on the fringes in society. So the women that worked in factories, the women that were independent and that were maybe courtesans, and, you know, it became a scent that was associated with bohemians at that point. Suddenly, from being very regal, it became sort of like a radical smell.
Wow.
I love that story.
And because it is earthy and sexy,
yeah,
it was also not this sort of like Victorian prudish kind of thing. It was very sensual.
Yeah.
So it became associated with like courtesans and people from that kind of like like sexy cardinal world.
That's so funny. So I'm curious, your line is inspired by so many different times and places. When you look at Arquise as a whole, do you see a through line in the collection set-wise? Do they all have some sort of uniting baseline? Or
For sure. I think skin is maybe one thing that I've like learned is what unites all of them. And that for me, it's very important. So the way it wears on your skin, because at the end of the day, it's the experience of these stories and the experience of these places and these moments in time that I'm interested in, right? So there's always a person wearing them in the story. There's always the idea of skin, whether it's Sydney Rockpool, which is about your skin warmed by the sun after swimming in the ocean and like a faint dry down of sunscreen, or the scent of spices that are attached to the habit of a nun in Animucci's, and the scent of like cinnamon and vanilla and chocolate that she's carrying with her as she's like brewing this hot chocolate recipe. Or this cloud of vanilla from Architect's Club of, you know, a smoking bar, a smoking room where you have people smoking cigars and vanilla pipes and cigarettes, but they're also drinking gin martinis. And it's that contrast between fresh and warm and cozy, that kind of like smoky, but very posh and very plush kind of environment. So there's always like how your skin kind of like absorbs these scents. And so skin is very important, so much so that Poe, one of our latest fragrances, like kind of like developed on its own and is really sort of the skin scent in Arquise. Really exploring kind of like the muskiness of skin, the saltiness of skin, the umami aspects of skin as well. You know, the fact that it can smell sometimes a little peppery and a little bit, you know, sharp as well. So yeah, so I think the experience of the wearer is like the common thread in all of them.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Yeah. Wow.
Do you have any other really strong scent memories that kind of inform the way you make fragrance?
All the time. I mean, Poe was guided by the kind of desire and want to encapsulate like a loved one's like scent. And it is something that I think we all have, like suddenly when you find somebody that you really care about a lot, and this can be a romantic relationship, but it could also be a family relationship. It can be even a friend that you just like find a lot of comfort and security in. That scent, like the way it kind of smells right to you, kind of trying to like bottle that is what I wanted to do. So I'm very aware of just how we interact with each other and how like people smell to you. And I'm not necessarily talking about their fragrance only, but like just how their skin and what they smell like and what does that mean to you in your life. I think that's something really beautiful. I do have like a lot of old buildings are always memorable impressions and memorable experiences to me. Going into certain buildings where you smell something that you haven't smelled before, or that just, you know, that that's going to be like framed in your mind forever. I remember going into, I had a friend that worked when I was in Paris. I had a friend that worked at the Senate in Paris in the Palais de Luxembourg. And because he knew I was interested in like, you know, the historic architecture, she said, I'll take you to the oldest room in the palace. Mm. And it was the only room that actually dates from like the early 17th century. And it smelled like beeswax because it had these beautiful like parquet floors and they polished them the traditional way with beeswax. So it smelled like honey and wax.
Oh,
oh wow.
I'll never forget like that smell, for example.
That's so cool.
You know, there's always the experience of a place. That for me is really memorable.
Mm-hmm. It is funny how the scent of maintaining or caring for your space just becomes ingrained in us.
Mm-hmm. They smell of you, right? Like these places start smelling of you as well. Mm-hmm. And what you have in there, I mean, they become sort of like a testament to your life.
Right, right. Exactly.
Totally.
You know, places say a lot about us.
Ooh. On the same tip as places, Sable and I talk a lot about hotel lobbies and how they all have their own sort of different scents and everything, and they're so unique to the places. I understand that you have developed some hotel scents. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that's so cool.
I developed this, the signature scent for St. Regis Hotels and Resorts.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. When they contacted me to like, for me to pitch them an idea to do this, I told them like my first scent memories is also related to a hotel lobby, because the first time I went to London with my family, I was kind of like wowed by the whole experience, of course. And I remember walking into the lobby and there was a very specific scent. And I always told my dad, I was 12, and I asked my dad, like, what is it? What is it? And he couldn't tell me. Mm. But last day I said, what? I just love this lobby. I love how it smells. And then it like dawned on him, it was just a bouquet of like lilies
that were
huge. And like, that's what we were smelling. Like it was lilies. Mm-hmm. But for me, it smelled like just an experience that was out of the ordinary, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, oh, it's the lilies. And so I identified, oh, it's actually the flowers. And it gave me an idea like, oh, I guess, well, then maybe we can buy lilies at home and it'll smell like the hotel in London.
Right, right.
Well, maybe we can do something about that, right? So that was something that I shared with the St. Regis team, which was a very kind of like happy, just, you know, story. Yeah, I think hotels, it's interesting because they both at the same time signal the out of the ordinary and the fact you are in a beautiful moment in time where you are treating yourself, you're traveling somewhere, you're somewhere away from home, and it's hopefully something exciting. But it also, especially as you keep identifying it in different locations, it becomes part of your story and it becomes part of your connection to the place. So if you go to a specific hotel brand around the world and you identify the smell, then how cool that now you feel at home, even if you're in like completely different places.
Yeah.
I love that.
You're lovely.
Yeah.
Ugh. Every time I'm at the St. Regis, I just feel so glamorous. Like it's so, it's funny that you said it because they do have like this gorgeous hotel lobby scent. I didn't know that you were the one who did it. That's so cool. Yeah.
What we did for St. Regis was basically, and I think like my pitch to them was like the hotel should smell like fresh flowers.
Yeah.
It shouldn't smell like somebody's perfume.
Yeah.
Sure.
It shouldn't smell like the trail of something that just went by. It should smell like beautiful, natural, fresh cut flowers.
Yeah.
One of the thing that I brought to them that was interesting, they told me, of course, about their heritage as very old, very New York centered like brand, and how they were founded by the Astors and all of the traditions that are very kind of bespoke with St. Regis come from the Astor household. And so I researched Mrs. Astor's like famous balls, and I found lists of flowers that she would use to decorate her house when she would have her like balls. So I used that list of flowers with the perfumer And we looked into different interpretations of that with the same ingredients, the same flowers, and we chose one that smelled very green, very natural. And that's how we arrived at the signature scent, which is called Caroline's 400.
Oh, that's nice. So cool. So it's very intentional too. Yeah. Like it's,
I don't know. I mean, I have like the New York Times articles where these flowers were actually mentioned.
Oh,
so it's completely accurate.
Wow.
That's
it's like
insane.
A little like time warp.
Yeah. But the nice thing is because they're flowers, you know, they'll never feel dated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Of course, there's also sort of like, how do you think of a rose in 2023 as opposed mm-hmm. to 1900? You, again, because of technology and because of the world we live in, where we have access to ingredients from different places and maybe more far away places, you can actually kind of like recreate the natural smell of a rose much more accurate than now. Mm-hmm. Than what you did, you know, 200 years ago and you, when you smelled the rose perfume back then.
Totally. Yeah.
That's so cool.
What I find interesting is that in a lot of your partnerships and collaborations, a lot of fragrance brands will scent a hotel or scent a product, but you won't necessarily know about it unless you looked into it. But I feel like Arkiste is always, it's always like on the docket, or it's like on the name. It's like St. Regis X Arkiste, or like the scents you made for J. Crew. Like people know that you created that, which I find.
And I'm very grateful for that. I'm very, very grateful for that. That is something to like, you know, really call them out and, you know, say that is very special. Mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for the partnerships and the collaborations that I've done where people really value our input, you know, and what we've done for them. I think all these brands understand that we're not just a vendor. We are.
Yep.
Really kind of like representing and giving credibility to their brand to create these stories that have a point of view, have a story, have, of course, of like a lot of quality. I think I want people to think that, to know that if it's an Arkiste scent, they know that it will be, have been made by a perfumer of Rodrigo Forez Rouge caliber or Jan Vanier's caliber or Khalees Becker's caliber, that these are kind of important works, you know?
Yeah.
Very, very grateful that brands understand that.
Yeah, that's really, I thought that was really cool. It's a flex.
Brand.
Yeah.
It is a flex. It's a huge flex.
Yeah.
But for a small brand like us, it's also very meaningful, you know?
Yeah.
Like it gets out there. It actually helps a lot in promoting what we do.
Yeah. Right. I think the vacation scent was the one when Arkiste like was on my radar because we had, I think we'd already interviewed Rodrigo. This was what, 2 years ago, I think. So when, you know, we got the press release for the vacation scent, they're like in collaboration with Rodrigo Flores Rue and Arkiste. And I was like, okay, who's Arkiste? And I'm like, how many collaborators are in this?
Right.
And then I didn't understand that like he was your perfumer. So I was like, oh. Yeah.
So I basically, the vacation started because the vacation guys reached out to me because we had like a somebody in common, a photographer that we both knew. Mm. And they found out that I was a fragrance developer and that I had a fragrance brand. They're like, oh, we're looking to to launch our brand and we want scent to be a very important part of it. Let's meet to discuss the possibility. And so I kind of like brought in Rodrigo into the conversation and said like, well, we could do it with somebody like him. I think he's really good with these solar floral notes. We just worked on a fragrance called Sydney Rockpool. I showed them Sydney Rockpool. They loved it. They thought, I think that's what maybe got me the project.
Yeah.
You know, okay, this guy is also interested in sunscreen.
Yeah.
And likes like the beach experience. And that was a fragrance that, you know, obviously I did with Rodrigo. And, you know, vacation is just incredible, the success they've had. But,
I know.
You know, it started like many other brands. It started with a deck and a pitch. And an idea, and they needed people to believe in them. And I just like saw their deck and I was like, this is super cool.
I think because they have such a clear vision.
So clear.
Really
so
well.
Direct.
Yeah. Well, and it clearly resonates with people too. I mean, we have all experienced sunscreen our entire lives, and that it's the hominess, it's the nostalgia. It's just like a through line.
I mean, it was like when they said like the brand is going to be called Vacation, I was like, that is such a genius name. How has
that?
Come up with that.
Yeah.
Why didn't I come up with it? You know, like, why wasn't that trademarked?
Like,
right. Yeah.
And that's actually what's genius about them, that they tap into these very direct emotions, like you're saying, and these very direct ideas, and they execute them really well.
Totally.
I like that.
It's you know, thrilling to be a part of it. It's really cool. I also love, and I love the fact that they are like a very fun, young, quirky, sexy, kind of like not serious kind of story. Yeah. And then Arkiste is this like brand that is about like history and time travel and, you know, Louis XIV's orangery. I think that, I mean, I like that. I like that they bring a little bit of fun to Arkiste, and I hope that we bring a little bit of gravitas and something else to them. Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool match.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably why they went with you, because they're like, this name, this will sell this perfume.
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we could talk to you all day about your brand, because there's so much to it.
I mean, it's a blast. I'm now in production for the orange blossom scent for about the orangery and all that. So
that one's so cool. I don't know if you like want to talk about it, but I remember that it has little gold flakes in it.
It does. Yeah. It does. So we found this plier of like cosmetic grade 24 karat gold flakes that are completely clean and non-invasive in any way whatsoever. These are completely safe for you to spray on. It shouldn't necessarily come out on your skin, but like if it does, it's not a problem. It's fine for it to blend with the perfume. And the name of it is L'Or de Louis, which means Louis gold. Mm-hmm. And the reference is kind of like the value of orange blossom and orange trees, and how in a way, like building a garden and having these orange trees was such a sign of wealth, and just respect for nature and this incredible thing, you know, that should be celebrated and you know, really treated like as a precious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the each bottle will come with like the gold flakes, and it just adds a, like a really beautiful kind of.
It's so cool. I love it.
To the fragrance, it's really beautiful. It's a very unisex scent. Like I said, it's like a very orange blossom forward. It has like a nice sort of like iris, a nice pomegranate note as well. And then just enough smoke and woodiness in the back to give it like very kind of substantial base.
Yes. Yeah. It's so a lovely scent.
And it was created also with Rodrigo Flores. It's something that orange blossom, something that I think unites us both in our passion for it, because I think both being from a Latin culture such as Mexico, we have an affinity. We have this enormous respect for orange blossom. We grew up with it, all the baby colognes in Spain and Mexico. Down to Argentina, all are orange blossom focused. Mm-hmm. So it's in our blood, basically. And we both love, you know, this particular period in history. And we both love like playing with like stories like that. So I'm pretty excited for it. It'll launch in September. So hopefully, you know, people will check it out.
Yeah. I mean, I think if anything else, it's just like the visual component of having gold floating around is just like so eye-catching and cool.
It really is. And the nice thing is, because like they are very thin, very like light, like just little like flakes.
Yeah.
They kind of suspend in the solution. Yeah. So it's actually really pretty.
Yeah, I don't know if this was disrespectful to say, but when he showed me the King Louis fragrance, I was like, oh, like Goldschlager. I was like, I don't know if that's a circle to say, but I'm like, my first thought was Goldschlager, but I'm like, but it looks so cool.
From the girl that doesn't drink. Oh my God.
I know.
So I wanted to specify, but I didn't know how to ask the question. So it does look like flakes, and
they are flakes. Yeah.
Liquid. It's not like a shimmery liquid. Okay, pretty.
No, it's like actual gold flakes just like swimming around. It's really pretty. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm like, I've never seen a perfume with stuff in it.
Isn't that odd that like we haven't seen that before? I mean, I've seen that in maybe a hair product or like the fucking Farsali face oil. Don't start. But like, sure. Like it does feel new to perfume.
Yeah. As soon as I saw it, I had that same exact thought of like, oh, wait, why don't people do this?
Yeah.
Like it would seem like a really fun addition to the experience. So like, huh, well, how weird. Yeah.
Because also perfume is so opulent and everything, because it's right there, you know, that's really cool. You know, this may shock you. I'm not really a history girl myself, but I think that all of the ideas and the concepts are woven into the storytelling and everything in a way that's not super verbose or heavy handed. It's just a really tight package. And I really like that.
Yeah. I also like how it's a way to learn about the ingredients in perfume through the brand, which is really cool. Like, I had no idea that was the story of patchouli. Like, that's so cool.
Right. That's so, so cool. No, yeah. I think it's, yeah, it's great.
And how funny to be like, wow, I can't believe at one point oranges were a luxury. And now I'm like, oh, an orange, stupid.
Get it away from me.
Oh, Valencia, whatever. as sumo citruses are like my favorite fruit.
Get scurvy.
Get scurvy. But it's really cool. The whole line is so beautiful. And the bottles are so satisfying to hold. And they're so good. Yeah, I think my favorites are definitely Indigo Smoke. I feel like I talked about it on a past episode, but I can't remember.
I think you did.
I think I did. Yeah. And the Architects Club.
I'm dying to smoke the Architects Club. And shout out to any brand who will fuck with vanilla and not be afraid of it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like an unexpected vanilla. I don't know how to explain it, but it's very clearly vanilla when you smell it, but it's just such a, I don't know, like breezy universal take on it that I'm like, whoa, anyone will love this. No one will hate this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a crowd pleaser.
It is a crowd pleaser. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
This conversation made me miss Rodrigo. I was like, oh, I should like say what's up. I'm like, hey, Rodrigo. Long time, no speak.
Right.
Yeah. I hope he's doing well.
I'm sure he's being just fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad that we got to have Carlos on from Arquise.
Me too.
Yeah, you guys should definitely check out the line if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to leave us a voice note, as we so love, you can go to our website, smellylater.live. Where you will also find our merch. We have some sweatshirts and t-shirts. I'm like, I guess it's getting a little warm for the sweatshirts. Maybe not if you live in the Southern Hemisphere. Just global shipping, my friend. You can find us on Instagram. We're at smellylater.mp3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will
smell you later.
I think that would actually work.